From NPR News, this is News in Notes. I'm Ed Gordon.
They battle into overtime. Albert King, Barkley for three! Oh, no!
Throughout his prolific career, future NBA Hall of Famer Charles Barkley always spoke his mind on any issue. Whether he questioned the state of Arizona's hesitancy to acknowledge the Martin Luther King Day celebration or his controversial stance on celebrities being role models, Sir Charles is always known to play and talk a good game. Now this outspoken ex-All-Star has turned his candor to the issue of race. His new book is titled, Who's Afraid of a Large Black Man? He joins us from KJZZ in Tempe, Arizona. Chuck, what's up, man?
Man, everything is going well. I got no complaints.
You shouldn't, as well as this book is doing. Let me ask you, I have heard you say in interviews that you saw race as a cancer and you wanted to talk about it, but it's also taboo in this country. Did you have any hesitation that this might be something that wouldn't be well received?
You know, when I went to Mike Wilbon and the people to talk about it, I said, listen, you know, because the last book did well, and I said, okay, I have an audience, and I wanted to write a positive book on race. I consider racism the greatest cancer of my lifetime, because I think anybody who's racist, they're just stupid. Mm-hmm. And what the thing that surprised me the most was how candid the people I interviewed were, from Tiger to Barack to President Clinton to Sam Jackson, Morgan Freeman to George Lopez to Ice Cube. I think if anything surprised me, I'm not worried about people liking or disliking. I had something I had wanted to say. You know, I always tell people, say, people, are you worried about getting fired for something you say? I say, I work one day a week. If they fire me, there'll just be one more day I can go play golf.
And we should note, Mike Wilbon is your co-author, and also many people know Mike from Pardon the Interruption on ESPN, and he is with the Washington Post. That being said, Chuck, one of the things that's interesting about you is that you have been embraced across racial lines, yet do you look at it as though, had you not been an NBA superstar, maybe some of these same people who long to be next to you wouldn't bother with you?
Well, I think you have to always look at the big picture, because I think sometimes people get black confused with black celebrity. Mm-hmm. And really, America has always been divided by race, and that's unfortunate and sad. But really now it's divided by economics. And I think poor people, whether they're white, black, or Hispanic, which we address in the book, they're the ones they're getting lambasted by the system. They have the bad neighborhoods. They have the bad schools. But what has happened is they have become their own worst enemy. Well, number one, we got to address the black-on-black crime, teenage pregnancies, and things like that. But we also have to address them in the Hispanic community and the poor white, because they're the one who have all the crime and all the problems. But they have made things, they've turned a brush fire into a raging inferno with some of their habits, and they've got to address them.
What I found most interesting is you talk about in the book Bill Cosby's most recent statements, the controversial statements, and I'm curious, you have been one who's been very outspoken about personal responsibility, yet as you know, oftentimes, in particular, minority communities don't want that dirty laundry washed in public. Do you believe that you have to in order to correct it?
First of all, what's wrong with saying what he's saying? But how do you say in any type of way, whether people say he shouldn't have said it like that or he should have kept it a secret? The man says something so profound and so positive. I'm seriously, if a white guy said that in his community, he'd give him Citizen of the Year. I mean, there's nothing wrong with what he said. We have to do better. When do you draw a line in the sand and say, we're going to stop killing each other, we're going to start dressing better, carrying ourselves in a more professional manner? I support him 110%.
Once he opened that door, I was frankly looking for more African-American leaders to, now that it was said, jump on board with him. Were you shocked at the so few people that indeed lined up behind him?
Well, I think, number one, we're really struggling for black leaders. You know, my heroes are Dr. King, Malcolm X, and Muhammad Ali. I think they're three of the greatest black men who ever lived. But who's next in line? You know, guys I really admire, Colin Powell, Judge Joe Brown, people who I think are fantastic. But who is next in line to be a black leader? I think we're sorely missing that leader who helped us all rise up, and we're really struggling with that. But listen, I think there are a lot. What's really interesting, you know, I talk about a lot about generations in the book. And Jesse and Reverend Jackson talks about how we have dropped the baton as far as civil rights. There are a lot of people that I say did a lot of heavy lifting to put me in a situation where I can be successful. And if I'm out there killing other black kids, you know, having kids I can't afford, I'm doing them a disservice.
Let me ask you this. I found it interesting that you dealt with a buddy of yours, and he was so very candid in the book, and that's Tiger Woods. Tiger has, as you know, taken some lumps from African-Americans because he's embraced all of his heritage, not just his father's side, but his mother's side. How much is that, as a personal friend of his, bothersome to you when you hear blacks say that he's not black enough, that he's shying away from his blackness, that he doesn't want to be identified as a black man?
All Tiger said was he didn't want to disrespect his mother. I mean, you should always, nobody wants to disrespect their mother. But also, I have told him on the other end of that spectrum, hey, every other black person in this world who has a black father is black. But it just goes to show you there is a racial thing going on in this country where you don't have the luxury of being race neutral. The key is if you're supportive or not. Black celebrities should not, every time a black subject happens, should not have to stick their neck out on the line. It's up for these other black people to stop killing each other, get their butt in school, quit all trying to play sports, become doctors, lawyers, engineers, firemen, teachers, and policemen. It's not up to every black celebrity to jump on the bandwagon every time a black question come up in this country. One black person does not speak for everybody. There's no matter where you're at in the country, we all got to start taking personal responsibility for our own lives.
Why have you decided to become so vocal on issues beyond sports?
You know, it's really funny. I don't think it's just me. Every person of prominence get asked a question on all social issues. Mm-hmm. I've always felt like I'm going to be honest and straightforward. I think for me, man, I'm just so disturbed by all the stuff I see going on in America today. The one thing I try to do is get a really fair, broad opinion. I got white, I got black, I got Jewish, I got Hispanic, I got men, I got women. I really think I did a fair portrayal talking. And, you know, George Lopez, who was fantastic in the book, you know, talking about how he is perceived and how minorities, because I think television has really done a disservice to blacks and Hispanics as far as how they're perceived on television. And the thing that really bothers me, these young black kids, Hispanic kids, don't know how to act.
Chuck, who surprised you most in the book? Who did you talk to that said something completely different than you thought they were going to say?
I think President Clinton was probably, there's two things I like for people to take out the book. And President Clinton talked about, he said, listen, sometimes you live in a bad neighborhood, you go to a bad school, you got a bad mom and dad. You got to find a way to be successful. And I thought Reverend Jackson, you know, he talked about we as young blacks have dropped the ball. We've done a disservice to the civil rights movement because of we've self-inflicted wounds. Mm-hmm. He says, there are a lot of people who did, this is my word, a lot of heavy lifting to put me in a situation where I could be successful. And until these young black kids quit killing each other, quit having kids they can't afford, we're going to keep repeating the cycle of poverty and violence. And he said, just because we got some guys who rap well and some guys who play sports well, there are more black people struggling in this country, and it's not getting better for them.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think, if any, has a bigger issue and problem with race? Does one race have a larger issue with it than another? Do whites have a bigger problem than blacks with the issue of race?
Well, I think racism, we got black racists also. I don't want to make it seem like it's just white people don't like black people. It's white people don't like Hispanics. Blacks don't like Hispanics. But what I'm hoping to come out the book is really, number one, create debate and conversation. But also, I hope that poor black kids, poor white kids, Hispanic kids realize that they got one strike against them because the world they live in. And they've got to stop making the situation worse. And that's what I hope come out the book more than anything. And I just really appreciate all the celebrities and people who got involved in the book, because I appreciate them trusting me. Because I told them, I want to write a positive book on race. It wasn't a I hate white people book, or let's bash on the Hispanics, let's start trouble with the Jewish people. I said, I want to write a positive book on race, because I think racism is a cancer that we got to keep chipping away.
Let me ask you finally, Chuck, before we let you go. I know you've said constantly, Miami, Detroit, out of the East.
Yes.
Give me, as I'm sure you're tired of answering now and everybody asks you, but who's going to win it all this year?
You know, I've been with the Spurs all season. I still think the Spurs got the best team in the NBA. If Tim Duncan is healthy, I think the Miami-Detroit series is going to be a slugfest. I can't wait to see it. But I'm still sticking with the Spurs. I'm not going to jump off the bandwagon yet if Tim Duncan's healthy.
All right, well, I'll stay with my hometown boys, the Pistons, and we'll see what's what. Charles Barkley, thank you, man, so much for your time. Always good to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for having me.